And without further ado, I would like to introduce our two speakers today. Speaking first, we have Dr. Joe Simonetti, and he is a research fellow at the PAC Demonstration Lab at the VA Puget Sound Healthcare System. And joining him today is Dr. Danielle Rose. She is a core investigator at the VA HSR&D Center for the Study of Healthcare Provider Behavior, and that's located at the VA Greater Los Angeles Healthcare System. So without further ado, I would like to ask you, Dr. Simonetti, are you ready to share your screen?
Yep.
Ready okay. You should see that pop up now. Excellent. Okay. We're good to go. Thank you.
Great. Okay. All right. Thank you, Molly. And thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to present some of the work we've been doing regarding burnout in the VA, particularly as it relates to the PAC model. With that, let's get started. There we go. I'd also like to stop and briefly acknowledge a number of individuals and collaborators from both VA Puget Sound and elsewhere who've been instrumental in moving some of this research forward. I also want to mention that this material is based on work supported by the VHA Office of Analytics and Business Intelligence. Before we begin, I think it would be pretty informative for both Dr. Rose and I to get a sense of who our audience is today. So with that in mind, I'd like to introduce the first of several poll questions that are embedded in this presentation today. Molly, I think you take over here.
Yeah, so for our attendees, right now you should see a blue screen up on your screen, and it says, what is your role within VA? And we understand that a lot of you have many roles in the VA, so feel free to select all that apply. These are anonymous. There's no wrong answer. Well, possibly. But feel free to submit as many as you need to, and it looks like we've got a very responsive audience. So far, 70% have already voted, so this is great. It really helps the speakers know who they're talking to and gear it towards that audience. So let's see. We're at about almost 80% response rate, and the answers have stopped streaming in. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and close the poll, and I'll share the results. And, Joe, would you like to talk through those, or would you like me to?
No, I think it's pretty safe to say that we have a pretty nice, even distribution of most of the stakeholders in VA. It's good to see a lot of the nursing staff here today. This presentation certainly relates to them. With that in mind, I think we can move on to the next slide. Today, we're here to talk about burnout. Burnout is a syndrome characterized by specifically work-related emotional exhaustion, otherwise known as cynicism, depersonalization, and a reduced sense of personal accomplishment. It's usually assessed by self-report on employee surveys, but it can also be identified through clinical visits or a clinical interview. The concept of burnout is not new. It originated in the early 1970s, primarily in reference to work in human services, so social work, healthcare, police work, and legal work. And today, burnout is widely acknowledged as a critical workforce issue in a number of fields. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of studies related to it and several books on the matter. And we have data on regarding burnout globally in a number of different work fields. And in some countries, such as the Netherlands, it's been a medical diagnosis for more than a decade. Burnout specifically within the U.S. healthcare workforce is becoming an increasingly prevalent topic of discussion in health policy administration and related research. Data shown here pertain to a study by Tate Chenefeld, around 2011 or 2012, in which he compared burnout between a national sample of U.S. physicians and the general U.S. public. And not surprisingly, he found that burnout on average was more common among U.S. physicians than the general public. Approximately 45% of more than 7,000 surveyed physicians screened positive. Shown here on this slide is the distribution of burnout by specifically by physician specialty, from 30% to above 65% of all physicians surveyed. Getting a little closer to what we're here to discuss today, you'll know that general internal medicine and family medicine physicians were among the most likely to screen positive for burnout. More than 50% of GIM and family med physicians screened positive in this national survey. I think many of us have probably used the phrase burnout or burned out before, and perhaps indeed some of us are burned out. But commonly the phrase burnout can be misused or even misinterpreted as stressed. So what's the difference between burnout and stress? Shown here is a pretty well-known figure, I think, showing the human stress response curve. And on the left, you'll see that some level of stress can be helpful and even improve our performance in certain tasks. for example, there's a reason I probably had a lot of trouble finalizing these slides for this presentation several weeks ago. Whereas as today's date got a little closer, the stress associated with this presentation enabled me to be a little bit more efficient in working on this talk. But for most of us, once stress persists beyond this hump area, we experience exhaustion and a number of stress-related consequences, including burnout. So what's the big deal, and why is burnout such a problem? Well, patients cared for by providers with burnout report lower satisfaction with their clinical care. They're more likely to receive suboptimal care. Studies of physicians and surgeons with burnout show that they're more likely to report poor patient communication and medical and surgical errors compared to their non-burned-out peers. And in addition, providers with burnout are more likely to report mental health and relationship problems. And those mental health problems are very serious. They include major depressive disorder, suicidal ideation, as well as alcohol and drug abuse. And on top of that, providers with burnout are also more likely to call in sick. They're more likely to report an intention to leave their current clinical position, and ultimately are more likely to leave clinical practice altogether. So I think it's safe to say that there's some workforce implications related to burnout, which I'm going to touch on briefly a little bit later. The medical home model, or PCMH, has rapidly expanded throughout U.S. primary care. The medical home model aims to improve a number of workplace characteristics, such as clinical efficiency, team cohesiveness and team communication, provider and staff autonomy. These are characteristics that in some studies have been shown to be associated with lower burnout. However, early studies of healthcare systems implementing medical home models have been mixed. Some have shown improvements in burnout and satisfaction, while others have shown indeed the transformation is stressful and may actually increase burnout. In 2010, I think as most of you know, the VA launched the Patient-Aligned Care Team Initiative, or PACT, to implement a medical home model in more than 900 primary care clinics nationwide. So what do we know so far related to burnout among the VA primary care staff working in PACT? Well, in 2012, a survey showed that about 39% of primary care employees participating in PACT transformation screened positive for burnout, and that included 45% of all providers that were surveyed. In addition, qualitative studies and generally the word on the street have suggested that transformation has been stressful. However, a recent study showed that clinics with more extensive implementation of the PACT model also had lower levels of staff burnout. It's important to note, however, that this study was unadjusted and didn't account for several respondent and clinic characteristics that may confound the relationship between PACT and burnout. So with that in mind, the aims of this study were to estimate the change in burnout prevalence among VA primary care staff from 2012 to 2013 and to assess whether extent of clinic-level PACT implementation in 2013 was independently associated with burnout prevalence in that year. To answer that question, we used data from the 2012 and 13 VA all-employee surveys. As many of you know, the AES is anonymous and fielded annually to all VA employees. Response rates for the interested years were 62 and 56% respectively. For this study, we used data from all respondents who reported working in primary care in one of four occupations that comprise the core PACT team with, that is, provider, including physicians, nurse practitioners and physician assistants, nurse care managers, LPNs or medical technicians, and administrative clerks. We also limited our study sample to respondents from clinics that were represented in both 2012 and 2013. In other words, the respondent was only included in 2012 if there was someone in that clinic who responded in 2013 and vice versa. To assess burnout, we used the validated single item measure from the Physician's Work-Life Study. The question stem asked respondents to rate their burnout using their own definition of burnout. Response options are, one, I enjoy my work, I have no symptoms of burnout. Two, occasionally I'm under stress and I don't always have as much energy as I once did, but I don't feel burned out. Three, I'm definitely burning out and have one or more symptoms of burnout such as physical and emotional exhaustion. Four, the symptoms of burnout that I'm experiencing won't go away. I think about frustration at work a lot. And five, I feel completely burned out and often wonder if I can go on. I'm at some point where I may need some changes or may need to seek some sort of help. Consistent with several previous studies, we consider respondents to screen positive for burnout if they answered in the 3, 4, or 5 category. If you've reviewed the burnout literature, including several recent studies regarding PACT and burnout lately, you're probably familiar with another burnout measure, the emotional exhaustion subscale of the Maslach Burnout Inventory. This is considered a bit closer to the gold standard for measuring burnout, which is the full 22-item Maslach Burnout Inventory, Shown here are the agreement and discrimination test characteristics of the single item measure used in this study as compared to the MBI subscale among a sample of VA primary care employees. I don't think we have to really discuss this at length, but I just wanted to say in summary and briefly, the sensitivity, specificity, and the predictive values of this measure are quite good compared to the Maslach burnout inventory. So in our analysis, we first estimated the overall prevalence of burnout in 2012 and 2013. To assess the association between PACT implementation and burnout, we used the PACT Implementation Progress Index, or Pi-squared score, which is a validated metric measuring implementation among VA clinics. Scores range from minus 8 to plus 8 higher scores, indicating more extensive PACT implementation. We used logistic regression to estimate the predicted prevalence of burnout as a function of Pi-squared score, adjusting for some respondent characteristics, including occupation and whether or not the respondent said they had a supervisory role within VA, and clinical characteristics, including whether the respondent was located in a VA medical center or CBOC, and the average panel size, panel complexity, and proportion of providers with panel sizes over the recommended cap within that clinic. Because of some inconsistency in the burnout measures included in the 2012 and 13 surveys, we used multiple implementation to account for some missing burnout responses in 2013. We also performed several sensitivity analyses, substituting the MBI burnout measure I discussed on the last slide in place of the physician's work-life measure. So this brings us to poll question number two. On the next screen, I'm going to ask you to rate your own burnout using this measure. Because of character limitations in these automated polls, I'm going to read you your response options on this slide and ask you to answer in the poll. And before we do that, I do want to ensure everyone that your responses are completely anonymous. They're not going to be identifiable by other participants or me, and I'm not collecting this information for any purposes. So with that in mind, please rate your level of burnout. Your response options are, 1, I enjoy my work and have no symptoms of burnout. 2, occasionally I'm under stress and I don't always have as much energy as I once did, but I don't feel burned out. 3, I'm definitely burning out and have one or more symptoms of burnout, such as physical and emotional exhaustion. 4, the symptoms of burnout that I'm experiencing won't go away. I think about frustration at work a lot. And 5, I feel completely burned out and often wonder if I can go on. I'm at the point where I may need some changes or may need to seek some sort of help.
Thank you. It looks like we are getting, so far we've had just over 70% of our audience vote, but answers are still streaming in, so feel free to give this some thought. And as Joe said, he's not recording these results for anything, so feel free to be very candid. Okay, it looks like the answers have just about stopped streaming in. We capped off at 80%, so I'm going to go ahead and close the poll now and share those results. And Joe, if you'd like to talk through them, feel free.
Okay, and well, we can just be pretty brief here and sort of dichotomize this as those of you who screened positive for burnout and those of you who didn't. And about 54% did not screen positive for burnout, so around 40 to 45% did. So let's take a look at this as this relates to some of the study findings that we're going to present here today. Okay, so shown here is a summary of the respondent characteristics of our study sample. The sample included approximately 8,100 and 7,500 respondents in survey years 2012 and 13, respectively, and these characteristics were roughly similar between the years. Approximately one quarter were providers, a third were nurse care managers, a third were LPNs or med techs, and less than 10% were administrative clerks, and less than 10% reported that they had some kind of supervisory role within primary care. Shown here are the characteristics of the clinics in which our study sample worked in 2012 and 2013. About two-thirds were located in VA medical centers as opposed to CBOCs. The mean panel size of the clinics in each year was approximately 1,100 patients. The bottom half of this table shows the proportion of respondents by year who were working in low, middle, and high PACT implementation sites as defined by the Pi-squared score. In 2013, there were fewer respondents in low implementation sites and more implementation sites, and more in middle implementation sites as compared to 2012. Using the Physician's Work-Life Burnout Measure, we found that 33% of primary care respondents screened positive for burnout in 2012 and 36.9% screened positive in 2013. After adjusting for differences in respondent and clinic characteristics between those years, we estimated that the adjusted change in burnout prevalence between years was plus 4%, a finding that was statistically significant. Consistent with the previous study, we found that compared to all other occupations, a higher proportion of providers screened positive for burnout at 41 and 45% in 2012 and 13, respectively. In addition, we found that burnout increased by around 4% from 2012 to 2013 among providers, nurse care managers, and LPNs in med techs. So burnout prevalence remained relatively steady among administrative clerks between years. Shown here is the prevalence of burnout based on whether respondents were working in low-packed implementation sites shown on the left, middle implementation sites shown in the center, or high implementation sites shown on the right. While burnout prevalence is notably several percentage points lower in the high implementation sites shown on the far right, these differences were not statistically significant. And these findings were similar in sensitivity analysis when we substituted the Maslach burnout inventory measure in place of the physician's work-life study measure. Before we discuss some of the implications of these findings, I do want to highlight some of the limitations of this study. So first, we can't use these findings really to comment on any causal relationship between PACT and burnout, because first of all, this is an observational study design. It's not really a deterministic one. In addition, as you already know, there are a number of other VA initiatives occurring with PACT that may also be affecting burnout, which we really weren't able to measure in this study. Second, we found that burnout increased from 2012 to 2013, but this estimate only represents a single year of observations. Without longitudinal data, we can't say whether this is related to PACT, whether it's a single year fluctuation, or perhaps whether this is related to a long-term secular trend in declining job satisfaction and increasing burnout in the VA. Regardless, these findings are not consistent with the hypothesis that PACT, however, is lowering burnout. Third, as with any survey, particularly a survey attempting to reach an entire national workforce, there's always a potential of response bias. Response rates were actually quite good for a national employee survey. They were 62 and 56% in each year, but our study only included about 421 of greater than 900 total VA clinics. And one has to question whether burned-out employees are likely to respond to surveys or just as likely to respond to surveys as their non-burned-out peers. And lastly, we imputed some burnout responses in 2013, though it's worth noting that we imputed those responses from other burnout measures embedded in the survey. So in conclusion, consistent with previous studies, burnout among VA primary care employees is highly prevalent. Burnout increased by about 4% from 2012 to 2013, and we found that the extent to which clinics had implemented PACT in 2013 was not independently associated with burnout in that year. On the surface, these findings are seemingly inconsistent with a recent study I think I mentioned at the very beginning of this presentation, which indeed found that burnout was lower in clinics with more extensive PACT implementation. However, there's some important differences between these two studies that I want to mention. The two studies assessed burnout using different surveys within the VA. Different clinics were included in each sample, different burnout measures were used, and our study adjusts for important confounders of the PACT burnout relationship. Shown here are the findings from the study that I just referred to, and you'll note that the range of PIs, you'll note the range of pi squared scores representing PACT implementation are on the far left here. High implementation sites are shown at the very top. And in high implementation sites, mean burnout scores when assessed as a linear score using the Maslach burnout inventory were indeed lower. However, shown on the far right, the prevalence of burnout when assessed using the same measure as our study did not vary as a function of PACT implementation. So going forward, the VA is the largest system to implement a medical home model in the U.S., and as the VA and other systems continue transforming their delivery models, improving our understanding of these transitions as they affect the healthcare workforce is critical. While medical home models, including PACT, may prove to lower burnout, their effectiveness in doing so in the short term, I think, remains unclear. And additional work is definitely needed to identify specific PACT elements that most influence burnout and to follow long-term trends in burnout among the VA primary care staff. In addition, these findings may have substantial implications for patient access and the VA workforce generally. As I mentioned earlier, providers with burnout have higher job absenteeism, intention to quit, and are more likely to leave clinical practice. And as we learned earlier, burnout disproportionately affects primary care employees. And we know there's been an overall trend of decreasing interest in primary care among newly graduated medical trainees. And on top of pre-existing patient access concerns, the high prevalence of burnout in VA, regardless of whether it's increasing, may deserve continued attention, I think, from VA employees, investigators, and clinical and national leadership. Here are some references for your later review if you're interested. And with that in mind, I'll turn the cyber seminar over to Dr. Rose to discuss some regional perspectives on VA burnout. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rose, you should have that pop up now to share your screen.
I'm clicking on it. Let's see.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
We had you. We just need the PowerPoint up.
Right. Here we go. Okay.
Perfect. There you go.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Molly. And I'll start by presenting on the burnout among VA primary care employees. This is a regional perspective. And I'd like to acknowledge the contribution of the Vision 22 PAC Demonstration Lab. In our study, we took an opportunity to explore the impact of participatory decision-making and efficacy for PAC and other provider and clinic-level factors on burnout. But I would like to start by saying that some of the challenges in VA primary care do predate PAC implementation, and I'd like to specifically reference a paper by Dr. Melissa Farmer, as well as a poster by Dr. Mark Schwartz, based on survey data of VA primary clinic directors at VA medical centers in large CBOX. And both these studies found prevalent management challenges, particularly in the area of health IT for Dr. Farmer's study. And for Dr. Schwartz's study, documented frequent report of hectic or stressful or chaotic clinic environments in VA primary care clinics. From Dr. Lisa Meredith's study, she explored correlates of the Maslach Burnout Index emotional exhaustion, and she found that participatory decision-making and efficacy for PAC change was inversely or protective against burnout. She also found that a number of factors that we thought would be associated either as protective or contributing to burnout were not, including satisfaction, with teamlet members, information sharing among clinic members, communication, and even perceived organization leadership as readiness to change. None of those were associated with burnout. And Dr. Helfrich's study looked at also at the correlates of burnout. He found that adequate staffing, defined here as a 3-to-1 ratio of PAC teamlet members to the primary care provider, and higher levels of PAC efficacy, a lot of confidence versus not at all confident to implement PAC, and higher levels of participatory decision-making were protective against burnout, but higher levels of perceived chaos or stress in primary care were associated with higher level with a greater likelihood of report of burnout. So here we're going to look at, similar to Joe's study, we're going to look at burnout over time, but we're going to look at specifically whether participatory decision-making and efficacy for PAC, whether they were associated with emotional exhaustion or burnout over time, and were there healthcare system differences in associations of these clinic factors and burnout. Our data source for our study was the PAC Waves 1 and 2 of the PAC Provider Study. And the Wave 1 was mostly in early 2012, whereas the Wave 2 was in late 2013. The domains of the study included organizational context, teamlet composition, individuals' perceptions and experience of the clinic environment, as well as professional background and personal characteristics. The dependent measure here, Dr. Simonetti gave such a great overview on burnout, so I'm really grateful for that. We used the emotional exhaustion measures from the Maslach Burnout Inventory, and I listed just a few of the items that we used. And so we won't be measuring whether they're burned out, yes or no, per se, but more just a higher or lower continuous score. But some of the items include whether people reported feeling emotionally drained from work, working with people all day is a strain, they feeling fatigued in the morning when they have to get up and face another day of a job. I don't know about you, but I get burned out just reading these items sometimes. But the response options varied from never to very to every day. And the independent measures that we looked at include participatory decision-making, efficacy for PAC change, healthcare systems within one regional network or VISN, and whether they were a primary care provider, nurse care manager, licensed vocational practical nurse, and clerks, and the time, although we did have to exclude clerks because of cell size issues. I just wanted to give, before I started with the results, I wanted to give an overview of some of the participatory decision-making items. We were mainly interested in looking at how leadership engaged the front line in quality improvement and important decisions about clinic operations, and the response options are listed below. It was adapted from Ullman Strickland's work. And we also have the efficacy for PACT items. As we implement PACT, I feel I can handle my role with ease. I have skills that are needed to make my role in PACT successful, so on. And the respondent was asked whether they strongly disagreed or strongly agreed with the statement, with other response options in between. This item was adapted from the whole readiness for change. Unfortunately, the only efficacy item we had in Wave 2 was the first one, because the other items were cut from the survey. For statistical methods, we used the score for emotional exhaustion, so we used linear regression. We also tested for clustering of responses within respondents over time. And then we tested for a three-way interaction between time, healthcare system, and discipline. And then later on, we tested for associations between participatory decision-making high or low, or efficacy for PACT high or low with burnout by healthcare system and by discipline. Our results include wave one, we had a 64% response rate in 515 responses. In wave two, we had a response rate of 48%. With 484 responses, and we had over 250 respondents that participated in both waves. So we did find significant clustering among respondents who did participate in both waves, so we did adjust for clustering over time, and the average burnout or emotional exhaustion score was around 20 points. So first, I want to show you the burnout as a function or association with healthcare and system over time. We see for healthcare systems 1, 3, and 5, relatively minor changes. For healthcare system 1, there was a slight increase. For healthcare systems 3 and 4, a small decrease. But for healthcare systems 2 and 4, we see more dramatic changes. We see about a 5-point difference in healthcare system 2. And a 6-point statistically significant difference for healthcare for over time. And then when we look at it by discipline, by time, we see that primary care providers, similar to Jones work week, we see a slight increase for primary care providers, a slight decrease for RN care managers, and a more statistically significant decrease for licensed vocational nurses or licensed practical nurses. And as I said, we had to, we excluded clerks from this analysis because of cell size issues. When we looked at, tested for associations between burnout and high and low participatory decision making and efficacy for PAC, we found that respondents in clinics reporting high participatory decision making reported lower lower scores of burnout overall compared to respondents in clinics with low participatory decision making. We see the same trend, although it's not statistically significant for efficacy for PAC. And then when we looked at the results by healthcare system, again looking at the impact of high or low or Association for High and Low Participatory Decision Making with burnout, we again see that clinics with high participatory decision making reported lower emotional exhaustion scores in general compared to respondents at clinics with low participatory decision making. Although I do want to point out the differences were statistically significant for four of the healthcare systems, but not for all. And we did not find statistically significant differences for efficacy for PACT. And just to give sort of a qualitative look at some of the quantitative data, this is actually a different analysis, but it's similar to the one shown on slide 15. So what we see, as I reported earlier, was that healthcare system 2 had an increase in burnout overall, while healthcare system 4 had a decrease in burnout. And what we see is that the participatory decision making, this is as a continuous, not versus a high-low, but we see that while healthcare system 2 did report an increase in participatory decision making, it was much flatter, a much more modest gain compared to healthcare system 4. So we hope that this points the direction of possible avenues for improvement and decreased burnout overall. So overall, our findings were similar to those by Meredith and Helfrick and also the ones that Joe presented today, where we did find differences, where we did find that participatory decision-making and efficacy for PACT were associated with lower burnout scores, although efficacy for PACT was only borderline significant. We also found that there was variation by healthcare system and by discipline. We think the important finding is that burnout is mutable, that it did change over time within healthcare systems. And we feel that that's an important finding. Some of the limitations of our analysis include that the limited efficacy about PACT may be due to the change in the number of measures used in Wave 2. And we also, a limitation was that quirks weren't included in the analysis. In conclusion, I'd like to say that burnout is a significant challenge in VA primary care, but that we feel that the significant variations in participatory decision-making and efficacy for PACT show the potential for change through quality improvement or interventions. And with that, I'd like to turn it back now to Molly or Joe. I think Joe had the slide for questions and contact information.
Yep, Joe, you should have that pop up now. There you go.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Excellent. All right, well, we do have lots of pending questions, but I'm just going to get through a quick comment first. I understand that some people did lose audio occasionally. This is a very busy time for internet traffic. That means that your internet failed to be able to stream the audio. For the clearest audio quality, please call into the toll number that is provided in the reminder email you received 4 hours before the session. So if you lose audio during Q&A, now you know how to get it back. So thank you very much. Okay, the first question came in when Dr. Simonetti was presenting. Can you discuss how the PI2 implementation measure was calculated? Joe, again, we're not getting your audio, so
okay.
There we go. You're back.
Sorry, I switched back from headset to phone. Sorry about that. So I can comment on this very briefly. What I would suggest, I would refer individuals to a study by Kari Nelson published in JAMA Internal Medicine in the summer of 2014, which I think detailed it was the paper that basically outlined how the pi-squared scores were created. Briefly, in summary, it's created using administrative data in terms of quality metrics, some patient-reported data used from the CHEF survey, as well as VA employee survey data. And facilities are assigned a score based on the metrics calculated from those different data points and are ranked from -8 to 8. So a +8 is the highest level of PACT implementation compared to -8.
And Joe, if I may, the score of the 8 is based on domains that I think most people are familiar with, of access, continuity, coordination,
yeah,
shared decision making, comprehensive care, all measures that are widely associated with patient-centered medical homes.
Yes. Nope. Great. I can't summarize better than that. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you both for that input. The next question, I believe, Joe, this also came in during your portion, but of course you're both welcome to contribute. Was this a comparison of two cross-sections or a cohort of individuals with two time points?
Excellent question. This was a comparison of two cross-sections. So it was not a cohort study. We used responses from the 2012 survey and combined them with responses from the 2013 survey. Great question.
Thank you. The next question we have was, how does this relate to mental health professional burnout with PACT?
This is Joe. I think I can start, and Daniel, if you want to chime in. So we know that burnout from national studies, is prevalent in most fields, ranging from 30 to 65%, including mental health professionals. So in our study, we didn't specifically identify mental health practitioners, though we know that our primary care providers are certainly providing a lot of mental health care. Identifying how prevalent burnout is specifically as it relates to mental health providers in the VA, I think, is a critical issue. We just did not address that in our study.
This is Danielle. We did survey mental health providers who were located in primary care clinics, but we did have, again, an issue of small sample size within, even at the healthcare system level, just really small numbers of mental health providers. So anything that we would give would be more qualitative in nature. We haven't looked at those results, but I think it's a really great question and something I would be very interested in knowing more about as well.
Thank you both. The next question, was the PACT provider survey used for the second study a national or regional survey?
It was regional. The one that I presented on, the PACT provider survey, was only fielded in VISN 22.
Thank you for that reply. The next question, in both studies, can you please tell us what survey tool you used?
I can't. I can write in, if someone sends me an email, I can find out for you as an individual, but I can't. I don't know.
And I will give the exact same answer. I'm actually not sure, but our emails are right there on the screen. Please send me a follow-up email today, and I will also have to answer that question for you.
Thank you. We appreciate you both making yourself available after the fact. The next question, what methods did you use to get such high response rate among PACs?
I can talk about what was done in our study. We had an iPad raffle for participants, so they had an opportunity by responding to the survey to be in a raffle for an iPad.
Thank you. I do believe that came in during your portion, but Joe, if you have anything to add, please feel free.
No, and I do think, just to say that we really appreciate that I think clinicians and staff care a lot about, the veterans, and so they want to help us figure out ways to make the clinic environment and care for veterans better. I think that's really the probably more important contribution than the iPad.
Thank you.
And that's a great question, particularly in surveys and particularly in the VA. Response rates are certainly an issue. This wasn't a survey that I fielded. This was, at least the first part of today's presentation, was based on data from the VA All-Employees Survey. And that's the annual survey that's sent out to all VA employees. And there is a lot of support from facility leadership and clinical leadership to make sure that people respond to that. I think that probably has something to do with the high response rate. That's certainly not enjoyed by other PACT-related surveys or other VA surveys or healthcare surveys in general.
Thank you both for those responses. Please share real-life examples of participatory decision-making at different sites.
Oh, this is Danielle. We did also do qualitative interviews with key stakeholders as well as PAC teamlets. And if you write to me, I can point you in the direction of some of those papers where they can give, examples from the qualitative data of that.
Thank you. The next question, why were social workers not included when collecting data?
Social workers were included in our data collection efforts. For this analysis, we focused on PAC teamlet members, but I do agree that social workers are an important part of VA primary care. They just weren't included in this analysis.
And similarly, in our study, we focused on what are initially considered as the core members of the PAC teamlet. I think as time has gone on, we realized that that definition is probably not fair, considering how critical the social workers are to that teamlet. And so, going forward, that's a great suggestion. I appreciate that.
I agree.
Thank you both. The next question. Is there any studies in literature that show effective interventions that impact positively on staff burnout?
Well, that's a great, great question. I cannot name them off the top of my head, but if you do a quick literature search, there are at least two systematic reviews that I'm aware of that do a great job in summarizing different interventions to affect healthcare employee burnout. And I can't really comment on the intervention specifically. That's not quite my field, but I'll say they come in two different kinds of themes. One is systematic interventions. So if we thought that PACT was going to lower burnout, then implementing PACT would have been considered a systematic intervention. Other examples are particularly in clinical residency programs, changing the structure of the work hours for internal medicine residents or changing the way in which they admit patients to lower burnout would be a structural intervention. The other type of interventions that are common in burnout, and there's been a couple of really interesting papers out on this lately, are more related to helping individuals cope with stress. There are some people in any given situation who will work and work and work and never experience burnout. There are others who have a lower threshold for developing burnout. So there are some mindfulness and resiliency interventions which have shown to be helpful in some circumstances. But beyond that, I'm not sure I can be too detailed about those interventions.
Danielle, would you like to add anything, or was that pretty much
the
answer?
I was going to say that was a wonderful answer, but know that we are working on analyses looking at the impact of some of the quality improvement work done as part of the PAC demo lab to see if those were mitigation, to see if they mitigated burnout. So coming soon.
And also I want to add, if you, again, my email's on the screen. If you email me, I'd be happy to follow up and forward the papers I just referred to. I just don't know them off the top of my head.
Thanks again for making yourselves available after the fact. The final question we have at this time, although I anticipate a few more will come in, did you take into account PACT staffing ratios?
That is a great question. In our study, a couple of studies are out there that have. In our study, we did not. Based, I think, on the all-employee survey and some of the PAC-related surveys, one of the questions we have is, are you assigned to a PAC teamlet? And then we have some administrative data on staffing ratios. But there's not a lot of variation in that finding, at least in terms of the administrative data, and so we didn't include that in our study, but that's a great point. I don't think the data we have are great at capturing what's happening at the clinic level in terms of turnover and missing team lead members, et cetera.
Now, this is Danielle. I was going to say that we did not control for that in this analysis, but in Mark Schwartz's poster, one of the correlates of reports of a chaos or a hectic environment was the number of unfilled vacancies in primary care. So I suspect there's an important relationship to be identified there.
Thank you.
Sort of on top of what Daniel just mentioned, in speaking to people who are working in the clinics, we know, and as many of you listeners probably know, that having an understaffed team lead is a huge issue. Turnover within team leads is a huge issue as well. And I have no doubt that that is probably strongly related to burnout in a number of different settings. I just don't think that we have been able to capture that very well just yet.
I was going to say, in Dr. Helfrich's paper that I referenced in my paper, he did find that a report of a fully staffed teamlet was protective against burnout.
Great, thank you. This person writes, how do mental health professionals function as part of PACT?
I think there's tremendous variation. I just know from the work being done in our vision that it varies from clinic to clinic. It just varies tremendously, but I think it's something that's I don't think we have a good sense of a definitive answer on that. Or maybe Joe does.
No, I agree. I don't think there's sort of a boiler template definition we can say in terms of how mental health works within PACT, because as I think Daniel mentioned, it varies from facility to facility. The VA is one of the few primary care delivery systems nationally in which we have co-located mental health in a lot of locations. In other words, we have psychiatrists and psychologists who are present in the primary care clinic. I can speak to my own personal practice. I work in a homeless PACT at VA Puget Sound. I have a social worker and I have a mental health coordinator or a psychologist, psychiatrist, just a few offices down from me. And so as they function in my day-to-day life, when I have questions particularly related to complex mental health issues or I have patients who have critical mental health issues, I have what I consider a luxury of being able to walk my patient three doors down the hallway to get expertise help with mental health conditions. I think that's the case in a number of VAs, but certainly it's not the guarantee, and that is certainly not how mental health works nationally, unfortunately.
Thank you for that reply. The next question, did you learn about inefficient day-to-day systems, computer systems on burnout?
Oh, this is Danielle. I was going to say, we don't have that in our data, but I did want to suggest that you look at Dr. Farmer's paper where they looked at the top management challenges identified by VA primary care clinic directors, and health IT challenges such as the volume of view alerts were among the top challenges identified.
And that's exactly what I would say. I think we don't have that data available in our study, but if you look at VA concerns nationally, information technology and CPRS EMR questions or frustrations tend to bubble to the top pretty frequently.
Thank you both. Are these data available in written publications? And if so, can you provide the reference?
Regarding the study I presented in the beginning, this is a manuscript that is near submission, so this is not in publication form just yet. If you are interested in follow up with me in a couple of months, I might be able to provide you with something.
This is Danielle. I was going to say I'll be presenting this as a poster at Academy Health, so I can definitely, if you send me a note, I can send a copy of the poster to you.
Thank you both. Here is a lengthy one, so we'll take it in bits and pieces. Is there any data available regarding the understanding of PACT concepts by specialties and other services outside of primary care, and how this may contribute to burnout PACT providers?
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm not sure quite what understanding of PACT by specialty members means. Off the top of my head, no, that does not ring a bell. Danielle, does that for you?
I was going to say, as part of our demo lab activities, there was a specialist survey fielded where we queried specialists about their understanding of PACT. We haven't linked that to the primary care provider data, but I will say a paper by one of my colleagues, Jessica Zukowski, if you send me an email, I can send you the paper, did identify prevalent rates of communication problems reported by primary care providers with different specialists, different specialty clinics. We haven't looked at those specifically linking to burnout, but they are a prevalent problem, and it wouldn't surprise me if there were some associations there.
Thank you both. The other part to that, the caveat, within PACT, or the comment, within PACT, we understand the concept. This does not seem to be the case for the rest of the facility, which seems to be a contributing factor. So thank you for that portion as well. The next question, what is the best way for staff to approach leadership in expressing frustration with policy, for example, unlimited walk-ins, to affect change and decrease burnout?
I wish I had a good answer for that, because that is that's a great question. I think in the organizational literature, including in the VA, we're finding that engaged leadership has a lot to do with employee satisfaction, employee burnout, et cetera. And the answer as to how you address some of these issues and, for instance, daily workplace problems with leadership, I think is going to be a completely different answer for each of the 900 VA primary care clinics out there. Suggestions I've heard in our facility and elsewhere is forming committees among employees, whether it's teamwork committees or nursing committees or provider committees, to identify frustrations and prioritize frustrations to be discussed with leadership. But beyond my day-to-day practice and what I've experienced, I don't think I have a great answer beyond that.
No, I was going to say, if you want to get in touch with me, I can maybe share some of the work that was done in VA around quality improvement. It's part of the PEC Demo Lab, and we can share some of the experiences that they've had in having quality councils to engage providers and staff in working with leadership to address some of these issues.
Thank you both.
Physician.
The next question, do you require local VA/IRB approval to publish findings that may portray the VA in a negative light?
The answer to that for our study is no. So this is evaluating the PACT implementation and how it affects the workforce has been part of an ongoing national quality improvement project for the VA. And as such,
I'm so sorry to interrupt. There was actually a clarification written in afterwards. Do you require local VA approval to publish findings that may portray the VA in a negative light? And please strike out the IRB portion.
So the answer, I think, is no to that.
So you don't require local VA approval?
No. So these findings are from a national VA study. Danielle, I don't know if you local approval for your study.
No. There's participation, but I don't think there's not the approval that the way I think the question's worded. I'm not entirely sure what the question means, but
sure. Yeah.
Again, you can contact me, and I can definitely let them know about what processes we have in place regarding research, development, and publication.
thank you both for those responses. It is always good to check with your public affairs officer, your local one.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm not supposed to answer these questions, but
no, that was a good answer.
Better safe than sorry. Okay, well, that is our final pending question, and we have just passed the top of the hour. Here comes one more, if you guys are available to take it.
Yes.
Okay. Is leadership considering designating money for additional RN care managers to complete population health management for each teamlet? Population health management, health coaching study by, referencing a David Swiskowski health management coaching study. But the question is leadership considering designating money for RN care managers to complete population health management for each teamlet?
I do not know
I'm
the answer
privy
to that question.
To that. Yeah. I'm not privy to that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you once again to our attendees for sticking with us. We still have a huge portion of our audience, and we appreciate it. And thank you so much to Joe and Danielle for presenting, and to everyone for your patience with our technical hiccups. I do apologize for those, but sometimes technology just is out of our control. I am going to close out the session in just a second, and we do have a feedback survey that will pop up on your screen. Please do answer the questions. We do read your responses closely, and it helps provide us how to better our program as well as which sessions to support through our program. So thank you once again to everyone. This does conclude our session, and have a wonderful day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.